Jones and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life.
Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, the haters trump free speech. Judge Jones renders his verdict on donkey basketball and blows your mind with inane fun facts.
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, I don't see a mark on your face. I don't see anything wrong with you. I don't think anything happened to you when you went to see donkey basketball.
I survived. I made it through without a scratch.
We'll get into it in a little while. I'm obviously, and I don't think I'm alone, I'm keenly interested in what you experienced. The sights, the sounds,
and the smells.
And yes, even the smells of the hottest donkey show this side of Havana, circa 1955.
Yeah, certainly this side of Southwest Highway.
But I can tell that nothing happened to you and that the protests couldn't have been that severe.
No, you know what, though? They were out. It was fairly impressive, I have to say, because and, you know, as we're discussing, the protest that had been laid out that was going to be kind of befall this donkey basketball tournament, I thought it was just going to be two teenagers, three or four teenagers. By the time I got there, there was about, I would say, 20 people.
20 people right in front of the venue or inside?
Not inside the venue. And then there were police there. There were people that were lined up along Southwest Highway, and then there's a little like short road that you turn into to get into the Oak Lawn High School parking lot. So they kind of went around that half ring there, and there's about 20 people there. So I got to give it to them. That was impressive. As I was driving over there, my sister said, texted me and said, "We've got protesters." I said, "How many?" Jeez. She goes, "7." So I thought, it'll just be small. But by the time I got there, I'd say there was about 20, and like, you know, they were doing their chant of, you know, the donkeys shouldn't be the ones playing basketball or whatever, but you could kind of
really
hear them.
That was the best chant they had? That's terrible.
As I was driving by, but you could hear them. It wasn't just like two or three kids like, "Stop now."
Oh, they were in unison, so they had practiced.
Yeah, some of them were, some of them weren't, but at least as you drove by them, they did make their presence known, I guess is ultimately my point. And when I first heard about this, and as we first discussed last week on our show, that I was attending donkey basketball and that it would be protested, I didn't expect the protest to be as robust as it was. So I'll give them that.
As you know, I'm very interested in protests. And you're very interested. You happen to see a lot of them.
I love them.
And I get to live vicariously through your eyeballs and your eardrums. And I always ask, like, how unified or, how in unison were the chants? How good were they? I think that there should be, like, a course. There's got to be, like, a rebel-rousing, going rogue protest course that you can take so that you can organize it. Maybe something in a box.
Yeah.
Protest in a box.
I think that would be something that you would just have to do like on a YouTube video with like a Guy Fawkes mask. Because I think that would be, I think people would be pretty uncomfortable putting themselves out there. Like when you talk, if I talk to you about like gun ownership or whatever, sometimes you're like, "Man, I probably shouldn't be saying all this stuff. I'm probably on some watch list."
Yeah. Well, what's
so
done
if
is
you
done.
Have a, yes, I know. But if you have a watch list sensibility, you probably don't want to be making a "here's how you protest" video.
No.
Even if it's just in terms of being effective.
I think this is actually, this is a new business idea. Do you want to go in on this? Havesies? Like what if we gave, like, and first of all, we'll have to study the great protesters of all time. Right. And we'll have to, hopefully there's like, you know, I'm sure there's tons of video footage of actually good, and especially around the world. We could dip into the color revolution protests. We could dip into Ukraine. Even just within the last few years, we could identify the strong suits of really solid protests and then, you know, sell it, sell, you know, a step-by-step tutorial, sign making materials. We're not going to sell like Molotov cocktail. Like this isn't like anarchist cookbook stuff.
Right.
But it's like, if you want to have a protest, this is how you do it. Everyone should have little ear plugs.
Okay.
Especially if you're standing near the bullhorn person.
Right. I was actually thinking you were thinking in terms of like earpieces. So as you're doing your chants or whatever, you could kind of switch it up. You kind of almost have like a coxswain kind of a thing.
Watch
it. They put out that you could put out, let's do this line now. And then you kind of do this one chant completely in unison for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden switch it up.
Yeah.
Get another chant going.
Cause from your reportage, it's almost a career ending injury for me saying that word. From your reportage, it sounds like they have a very difficult time coming up with the really solid slogans that are, you know, have a good alliteration, have good, clean language for people who want to come to with their families to the protest. And then people have a very difficult time, like you're saying, in coxswain fashion, directing it.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I've noticed, whether it was, you know, a Black Lives Matter protest or the protest about Ferguson, Missouri, this donkey basketball protest. There's always, when you get to the verbal portion of the protest, that's why I give credit to the kids who were out there protesting last night at Oak Lawn. They made their presence known. You heard them. I've gone to protest to simply watch them. I don't really care about the issues, but to watch the protest and the energy of it, I've gone down to ones in the city, and it's just kind of like, well, let's get quality sewer now, you know. And it's just like, it's not, no one's really together. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. You need an org chart. You need slogans, idea starters. You need sign making materials. You know who would be awesome at protesting, I think? Soccer hooligans. Like soccer games, they're always, they know the chants. There's an energy there at soccer games. Hooligans would be the best protesters on earth, I think.
They would be. And they do, I know that they distribute, when they put together their songs that are based on other tunes, but like with lyrics obviously altered to their cause, they distribute those. So everybody can kind of get on board with it.
Bone up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's very simple. They'll put the lyrics and they'll say, this will be the tune to, you know, this will be the tune to some Beatles song, you know, like, you can drive my car. So you have the tune in your head. So once you start saying the lyrics, it's all of a sudden you can kind of get up and running in terms of groupthink, going, okay, these are the lyrics I have to say. And then collectively everyone can kind of go, well, I know the tune. So once we sort of get 5-6 seconds into the tune, we'll figure it out. And then it's really powerful.
Dude, this is a huge money-making opportunity. Huge. Do you believe that last night's protests at Oaklawn Community High School were a little bit tamped down attendance-wise because of the protests happening eastward at University of Illinois Chicago for the Trumpy rally?
I don't think so, only because the kids who were protesting the donkeys last night, they can't really vote anyway. I'm sure they have thoughts on the election, but this is actually something that they could, I mean, if you're a teenager, how much can you really affect? How much is really in your circle, in your sphere? This is their opportunity to be like, the thing that we need to stop is here right now.
Yeah. I mean, out of the two events that Chicagoans deemed worthy of stopping, only one was successfully stopped, the Trump rally.
I know. It's crazy to me.
And when I saw that was going down, I went, oh my God, Jones is safe. Wherever he is, he's safe now because of what's, conflagration happening at UIC.
And it was fun. As I was driving back, though, I heard like helicopters everywhere as I was driving back from Oak Lawn. I heard helicopters everywhere, and it was kind of like, what's going on? And I didn't know until I got inside my place.
You had no idea that that there was a big to do happening at the Trump rally?
No, because I was in the I was in Donkey Basketball the whole time. So it wasn't until I got home, and then when I saw that, and actually it was in larger part the reaction to a lot of my peeps on Facebook, who are like, some were disappointed about what happened at the Trump rally, but many were like pumped.
Disappointed that there was a protest.
Disappointed that there was a protest because it, on two circles, there were some people that I know that are very liberal minded and they just felt, well, hey, this is not, this is poor form that free speech is getting shut down. Then other people who were Trump backers who were like, we didn't get to hear our guy speak. But I was really surprised at the third category of people, which was the, congratulations, Chicago, you did it.
Jeez, I know.
You
crazy.
Did it. And I was like, you did what?
Yeah, yeah, you did it. You did it.
And even as I woke up this morning, there was an article, like I think it was by Mark Brown, who was like upset about it. So I'm like, when you upset Mark Brown for shutting up Donald Trump,
yeah,
you know you've done something wrong. You know you've miscalculated your liberalism.
That's right. Free speech. Is it just a cute little protest type slogan on a piece of paper? Next, Jones and Mike. Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, if you dig the show, we could use your help. Please utilize your, for now, your right to free speech. Go to share.jonesandmike.com and share the show with 10 friends on Facebook or, you know, even personally. That would help. Be loud and proud in your support of Jones and Mike. Send comments to comments@wgnradio.com if you want. Tell them what's up. If you want to hear the show on a broader platform, because we got hairy beanbags. We talk about all sorts of stuff that other people aren't talking about. Like, we don't care about politics per se, although with politics as the backdrop, I think this is an interesting topic of free speech. Does free speech actually exist? Because it seems like everyone's patting themselves on the back that they successfully squashed other Americans' right to free speech or perceived right to free speech, but I'm not so sure that we actually have a right to free speech anymore. And maybe we never truly did. Maybe it was always just a grand illusion.
Well, more than even a right to free speech, when I saw the reaction to, never mind that the protest shut down Trump, that kind of stuff, there will always be people who will go and seek to accomplish something like that on either side of the aisle. But when I saw people on Facebook applauding it and being very motivated and excited by that, I had to think to myself, really, at our core, we're all totalitarians. We don't want to believe that, but is it possible that we're all of a totalitarian mindset if it's your side that's winning? This two-party system, which is ridiculous anyway, you only have a choice between a ham sandwich or a cheese sandwich. It's ridiculous already.
Yeah, it's like ham and prosciutto. It's two different variations of the same ham.
Right. But people, that's enough though to make people think that we actually, there is a choice out there. Things are completely different. We have something to fight for. But beyond that, just to even having just simply two choices is allowing people to think, well, no, a totalitarian, what are you talking about? We have choices to make. That's why we vote. That's why we make our voices heard. But if you had an opportunity to completely shut down somebody out of the gate, I think most everybody would do it. And I think at our core, we don't want to admit, yes, we have a totalitarian mindset. When we're hanging out in a pub or at a restaurant or at a coffee house, we want the idea that we're open-minded. This is a democratic society. Everybody has something to say. That's kind of where you want to think you're at. But deep down, I saw this unfold and I thought, are we really all just totalitarians?
Yeah. And so, you know, this idea that when I see people having a political conversation, it is not an exchange of ideas. Everyone's waiting for their turn to then say what they want to say. No one's really listening to the other person who's speaking. And if I'm talking to a leftist, for example, because I'm a conservative dude, if I'm listening to a leftist, I do genuinely listen. But very rarely do they sway me to their ideas, and vice versa. So I almost am to the point, well, why do we even talk about this stuff? Just go. We have anonymous voting, allegedly, so just go and you vote. But you're really not going to sway anyone to your ideas. All you do is just, you know, get embroiled in this dissension. And you get your feelings hurt, and you get your blood boiling and all of this stuff. But whoever goes, like, you know, I was a leftist, and then I really got, you know, I really enjoyed Reagan. So then I became, and I guess Dennis Miller claims that happened to him. And every now and then you hear someone claim that happens. But who really changes, you know, from one side of the aisle to the other based on some, you know, discourse that they had with someone else?
No, every once in a while someone will make that change or hear something different and decide that they see things completely differently. But, you know, it's so funny. I'm watching people, and again, this is mainly on Facebook that I'm seeing this, but I'm hearing people as I was driving in to do the show that were calling into shows and talking about when they were, you know, their reactions to the protest, or they were down there and this is what the protesters did and this is how it was responded to. I just have to laugh because a lot of people were standing behind the idea of, well, what we were doing was we were shutting down a racist, and we were shutting down a homophobe, and like all this, they were putting all these, tacking all these titles on Trump and saying, well, this is our justification for not even letting him speak. And it kind of, it brought me back again, looking at it from a totalitarian mindset. You're out, you would be out. People who are against Trump typically would be against him anyway, just if he was leaning on a conservative Republican bent. And then it was like, now we're talking over 30 years ago, but I started to think back to when Jesse Jackson in the mid 80s referred to New York as Jaime Town.
Oh God. Oh jeez.
You know, what
you
happened
can't
to
say
him,
that, Jones?
But what happened to him in 1984? He ran for president. Now it was kind of out of protest, but then he followed it up again and ran in 88. And I don't recall, or I don't know that were there massive protests on the other side of the aisle where, and what I'm saying on the other side of the aisle, I'm saying among Democrats, among liberal Democrats, were they going in there and were they protesting and were they as upset as they were last night in Chicago? Were they trying to put a stop to Jesse Jackson, who, by the way, made these comments to a Washington Post reporter and who had a partnership with Louis, you know, Jesse Jackson had this partnership with Louis Farrakhan where he said to the report, or he said on a radio broadcast, if you harm this brother,
Farrakhan said
Jesse
this about
Jackson,
Jesse.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will be the last one you harm. He said this of the Washington Post reporter. History has clearly forgotten this, and he didn't really have a massive run at becoming president in 1988. But was there this same reaction where you were on the leftist Democratic side of the aisle? They said, you know what? This is the 80s, damn it. And this type of racism.
Yeah.
This anti-Semitism. We will not stand for this. Let's shut Jesse Jackson down.
Well, as you know,
I don't think that happened, and I haven't seen that happen since.
I have a great disdain for both political parties. I agree with your assessment that they're both variations of the same ham sandwich. However, the reason why I am a rightist, if you will, is because I see less hypocrisy on the right, and I can't associate with the hypocrisy on the left. The leftists, they position themselves as tolerant. But they seem to me, to my eyes and my sniff tests, to be the least tolerant people in America. When you have, okay, so you want to go out and you want to say, you know, hey, this Trumpy guy, he's a bad guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care about his policies. Let's leave that aside. I believe, of course, you have a right to do that. However, one of the guys who was leading the charge was Luis Gutierrez. Luis Gutierrez has given aid, comfort, and sympathy to terrorists, not purported terrorists, actual terrorists. You know he was a backer of FALN.
Yes, I do recall
that. The Puerto Rican clandestine paramilitary organization, according to Wikipedia. But I like that, so I'm going to take it. Which bombed 120 bombing attacks on the United States between 1974 and 1983. And Luis, a good Puerto Rican that he is, supports these characters. In 1999, some of them who had been still jailed at that time received pardons from Hillary and Bill Clinton. So, you know, this idea of using violence to silence, it absolutely seems to be a tactic of leading leftist politicians and leaders. So what happened yesterday at University of Illinois Chicago, by the way, the former home of another terrorist, not purported, not alleged, actual terrorist, professor, tenured professor, now retired, Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground, I found absolutely fascinating. That in America, we not only know nothing about history. I'm sure there are people like FALN. What? What is that? I don't know about FALN. Check it out. Look it up. Read about it. Look at videos and learn about it. And you tell me, is this not a textbook play out of the leftist playbook that they continually play over and over and over again to intimidate, to use violence to silence people, and it just continues generation after generation. And to me, that's a hypocrisy I can't live with. So that's why I'm a rightist.
Okay, and I do, you know, as you've presented that, I do see the hypocrisy in that. Now, would you say then that people who are on the right are less totalitarian in nature? Because my thing is, I think in terms of human nature, I think it's just in all of us to have that totalitarian.
I agree with your premise, but I would ask you to give me an example of a whistle campaign. Do you remember when we were at Marquette and we were on television shaking hands, you and I, shaking hands with a black activist up there who I think was named Michael McGee?
Yes, Michael McGee. I think you were the only one that made it on television, though.
So we saw this black activist who at the time was famous in Milwaukee for encouraging black ghetto denizens to go out of their homes when they see a white person driving through their neighborhood, and when they're at a red light or something, to stop their car and surround their car with tires, light them on fire, and force them to have to get out of their car and walk through the ghetto, which presumably wouldn't have a very positive impact on their longevity.
You don't know that.
But, you know, of course, outwardly they said, well, we want you to see how we live. And I'm all for that. I think that white people should have to see more of the urban blight that people are kind of trapped within to get an understanding of the concept of food deserts and whatnot. Just to see this horrible, horrible, you know, trap that people are kind of generationally, you know, caught within in America. But, you know, he was doing it as a method of violence and intimidation. And so when we were on TV, you know, we went out of our dorm. It was right across the street from the television station. We went out of our dorm because some locals had filled us in on this guy, and we went out there to kind of shout him down, right? And this guy was very charismatic. He within seconds he kind of turned us, you know, and once there were cameras in our face, we kind of like cowered, and we ended up like shaking hands and like smiling with him, and we were on the news doing that. My old man flipped out because he knew more about this guy than we did. He's like, "Do you know what this guy does? Do you know that he encourages people to invade, you know, rallies and to protest within them by blowing whistles so that nobody at the rally can hear the speaker on the dais? He literally silences people." "Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm just a dumb 18-year-old kid at the time." And in my old man was disgusted that we were on TV shaking hands with that character, or at least I was. And I felt like an idiot. But that's a perfect textbook example of what these people do. They have a cause, celebrate, and they take it to this nth degree where they shout down and silence people that they view as an opponent. And sometimes they use violence and intimidation to do it. And then other people who are on their side clap and go, "Oh yeah, America, America." It's really disgusting. I've never seen a rightist do that.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I knew that's where you were going, and I was trying to think of examples of that. And anything that I could think of that would be right-leaning, where it would maybe be seen as an unacceptable protest or unacceptable behavior, is not necessarily politically affiliated. Now, this is just me being, you know, we're just having a conversation right now. And I, you know, as I'm sitting here with you, I can't think of that.
Guessing abortion clinics get surrounded.
Yeah, okay.
By rightists.
There you go. Okay, that's an example.
But I'm guessing.
You're doing
a
better job of arguing with yourself than me.
Well, I don't know. I'm not really.
Although,
but I don't know. I don't know. And I will say that I've seen abortion protests, and I'm anti-abortion. But I've seen the abortion protests, and they're along the sides of roads. And they show like aborted babies on giant signs, and it churns your stomach, right? So it's very effective, although it makes me mad at them because they kind of ruin my day. It's like, I'm on your side. I don't need to see that, man.
Right.
But I've never seen actually an abortion clinic where people are prevented from getting in and out of it. I just don't know that that exists. But I have seen leftists shut down things, and yesterday was the most perfect example of it.
Okay, that's well, and I honestly, just to be kind of cut to the quick, I can't think of anything like that on the right side of the aisle, that where someone was clearly politically affiliated with someone else, and I saw that and I could make that kind of marriage. For example, along lines of what you're saying with Bill Ayers, years ago I went and saw a documentary on the Weather Underground at the Three Penny Cinema, which is no more. It's now Lincoln Hall.
Oh, well, they didn't charge enough, clearly.
But it was weird. There was this documentary about the Weather Underground and like all kind of the domestic terrorist acts that they did, and they were radicals. And then at the end of it, Bernadine Dorn stood up.
Was it Bernadine or Bernadette?
It's Bernadine.
Ooh.
Bernadine Dorn stood up, who is Bill Ayers' wife, who was a part of the Weather Underground. And I think she's affiliated with Northwestern University.
That's right. A professor, tenured professor at Northwestern.
Yeah. And it was wild because she stood up. I didn't know she was there. And her talking points were about, I'm trying to remember if this was back in 2008 or
no, God,
it had to be
earlier.
Longer.
2000. Oh, yeah.
It was maybe 2000, let's
sure.
say. Probably around 2000, 2004,
uh-huh.
Right around there. And she stood up. And she was all of her talking points were about how to support the Democratic Party in the upcoming election. And that was interesting to me that this – I just got done watching this documentary on this very radical group. This woman stands up to speak.
That committed bombings against American targets. Now, they didn't kill anybody like the FALN did. The FALN killed and maimed multiple people. The Weather Underground, as far as I know, would like call ahead, make sure that the federal building was going to be cleared out, and then they set off their pipe bombs.
Yeah. And I think they
I could
only,
be wrong.
I think they wanted to do the Capitol, but I wonder if they really were ever successful with a federal building. Maybe they, I can't recall. But anyway, the point is this. it was, I have to say, it was kind of shocking to see someone who is so radical. You think that they would then stand up and just talk about revolution or speak out against the two-party system or this other party that maybe you're not familiar with. But the fact that this radical stood up, you just saw this radical documentary, there were a lot of like-minded people around, and then she just simply started talking about the DNC. I was just like, whoa, that's kind of a weird marriage there. Well, now, I'm not saying that there aren't those weird marriages on the other side of the aisle, but I can't think.
Oh, well,
and maybe it's just
because
I can't think. I can't think right now in the moment of conversation.
Well, I'm sure that there are. And really, one of the other stories before this week surrounding Trumpy was he did not solidly, definitively distance himself from the endorsement of David Duke, former, you know, I believe he was a congressman in Louisiana, but certainly he was once the grand dragon or whatever of the Ku Klux Klan. And so David Duke endorses Trumpy. Trumpy did not distance himself sufficiently or at all, really. And then it became the question of, well, are you responsible for who endorses you? Or do you have, is it incumbent upon you to just really clearly and loudly say, I don't want your endorsement?
Right.
So there's that. But like the DNC, they don't distance themselves from the likes of Luis Gutierrez or the Weather Underground. And not only that, but why would they? Because society never distanced themselves from Bill Ayers or Bernadine Dorn. They not only didn't, those two not only didn't become pariahs, they became the very high profile educators of our youth. And not at, like, you know, Bufu College in the middle of,
some,
like,
online,
you know,
university.
Kewanee or something, like at Northwestern and at University of Illinois Chicago,
right,
where, like, Bill Ayers was able to mentor the future 44th president of the United States of America. So to me, the evidence speaks for itself. These folks on the left, they not only don't disavow themselves of violence, intimidation, and even acts of terror, they absolutely welcome and embrace it into their loving arms. So to me, that is scary. And Mark Brown and his ilk, they should absolutely be scared by that.
And he was. From what I read yesterday, he was. So I will give him credit for that.
Now, it's funny that he and Neil Steinberg are going after Trump every day, and everywhere you look on social media, everyone's calling him Hitler and a fascist and a horrible person, a bigot, a racist. If you're going to vote for him, you're automatically labeled as lowly educated. You have a low IQ. There's all of this disparagement surrounding this guy, and yet he continues to win. And so while people want to talk about the narrative of, you know what, the Republican establishment is very threatened by this guy, I think that is true. But I think the larger story that isn't talked about is the media is threatened by this guy, because the more they are loudly condemning him, his numbers don't go down and his victories don't stop, which means that America is refusing to listen to the establishment media. And that is why every night on TV and Zuckerberg through Facebook and the stories that they're allowing to be served and to who, that those media sources are scared. And they should be. And I love it. And I love being in the media to a little degree that we are. I love being able to say that for now. I don't know how. And honestly, I can't believe that WGN lets us say the things that they say. And we don't say anything that really is all that controversial.
Shut up, Mike.
But, like, we talk about secret societies on this giant radio station. That's crazy. Because normally you only hear about that, like, on, like, the Art Bell show. Or, like, Michael Savage will kind of get into that stuff a little bit. But for the most part, media organizations do not allow you to say those things. Or maybe it's just a coincidence that a lot of hosts choose not to say those things. But like every day I hear Ro Khan going after Trump, and I'm like, well, no, what's the big deal about this guy? I don't understand why everyone's so upset. And I think the thing they're upset about is that no one's listening to them and their attacks and their belittlement of the people that support him. And that, I think, is the biggest, you know, the fascination to me of this whole thing. That's all I'm going to say. We'll fix
impressive.
The rest in post.
No, there's nothing to fix. There's nothing for me to add. You're very eloquent. You're on point. I don't want to just step all over that with
And yeah, if your friends, family, neighbors, and associates online are sitting there applauding the intimidation of people who show up at a political rally, something's wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. If there was a Hillary Clinton, you know, let's say she came to the heart of Republicanville out here in DuPage County, and she was going to have a rally, and then a bunch of my goofball neighbors who are red staters went and like prevented the rally from happening, I'd be thinking about moving. That would really scare me, man. I can't imagine being that whipped up. So when something like this happens, I don't really feel like it's a groundswell of normal people doing that. I feel like it's an orchestrated, politically, you know, a political event by a Luis Gutierrez and his fellow travelers. Again, people with a well-known track record of supporting terrorists. I can't even believe that he's ever mentioned in the media without someone having the sack to also add the disclaimer, he has, of course, been noteworthy in the past for supporting known terrorists, FALN. I can't believe that's not a boilerplate disclaimer that's always linked to him and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, for that matter. And by the way, people that I know and love, they love Bill Clinton. They love him. But he pardoned terrorists, for God's sakes. It's like, how do you love this guy? How do you love him? So that's why the left scares me, brother. And I think, you know, I heard Joe Walsh on radio yesterday, the righty, talking about how it's going to get really ugly this election season in America. And at the time I scoffed and I went, I don't even know why I listened to you. But then I saw the footage and I heard and I saw the aftermath of yesterday's protests. And I go, yeah, 2016 might get pretty nasty, actually. If this is any indication, if this is a litmus test, hopefully it's like an isolated, like, you know, it's a very diverse UIC campus. It's easy for Luis Gutierrez and his, you know, pro-immigration ilk to go in and disrupt. Hopefully this isn't going to spread across America like wildfire. But at this point, I don't know.
Well, that'll be interesting to see. And if it does, that I think will start to really kind of fuel my thought anyway, that perhaps we are all of a totalitarian mindset. Now, I haven't examined it. An incident has not come to me on the right that I'd have to go over. I'm not saying that it's not there. But just if it does go forward down this path where it becomes very divisive, becomes very tense, almost violent, that will really start to make me wonder if we are just all we're all hiding behind this democratic flag, but deep down we know we're totalitarians. And if we could pounce and silence someone, we wouldn't think twice.
Yeah, it freaks me out, dude, because the only people who ever comment on my political observations are rightists. And the lefties in my list very rarely get involved. I get kind of bummed because it's like, no, actually I'm interested in what your take is on this issue. I have like Puerto Ricans in my list that I actually, when I kind of posted about this FALN and Luis Gutierrez connection to yesterday's, you know, mildly violent protests, I wanted to hear what a Puerto Rican Chicagoan would say about that. But they never like poked their head up outside of what they did do, which was applauding the shutting down of a rally yesterday. So, you know, there's not a lot of, I don't get a lot of discourse from people. And I would like to hear their opinion on it. It's like, yeah, okay, hey, Puerto Ricans, what do you think about Luis Gutierrez? Honestly, tell me about it. Tell me about why you want open borders. Tell me about why you think that it's a good idea for just whoever in the world wants to come through the southern border, that we should just allow that. Why is that good for America? I am interested in, is it just a matter of you want your family, more of your family members to come? Like, tell me specifically why you want that and why you think it's a good idea and why any country in the world, no other country in the world has that, but we should. Why is that a good thing? And I just don't get a good, you know, answer, honestly. I don't get any answer. But that is an issue that I might actually go, Oh, okay. So you came across the southern border and then you became a small business owner and now you have 42 employees and you've created all of these opportunities for folks. You know, oh, that is a good story. I'm rethinking this immigration issue. But I just never get that side of it. It's just, no, we shouldn't have any laws and let's just get rid of, you know, no border, no walls, no laws. Catch and release. It's like, why? Give me some examples. So we're not going to unfortunately solve any of this stuff, Jones. But it's interesting that we, for now, at least have a platform. Not the biggest platform, but we have a platform to talk about it.
Could we talk about something that maybe is just like a little bit more serious, a little bit more important next?
Yes. And do you have an example of what that will be?
I'm thinking donkey basketball protests.
I do want to hear what the game was like. We'll hear about that next, Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. So going into the donkey basketball game last night, Jones, you were skeptical that you didn't know what side of the ledger you were going to fall down on. If you were going to be pro-donkey basketball or anti-donkey basketball. And I ask you, sir, directly right now, what side of the aisle do you fall on this day?
I would have to go with anti-donkey basketball.
Anti-donkey basketball, and you view it as donkey abuse.
Well, you know, and it was one of those, I was watching it, and the entire time I was watching this event happen, I'm thinking to myself, all right, the words are kicking around in my head. Abuse, violence towards animals, what have you. And I was just like, cruelty, that was another one. You know, animal cruelty, abuse, those were two words that kept kind of jumping around in my head.
Yeah.
And as I watched, I have to say, I didn't see anything that was grossly cruel or abusive taking place where it's like, oh my God, they just... Yes, there it is. It's coming all back to me right now. The horrors.
We're going to share a little of this on the show page at jonesandmike.com, but I'm viewing what I believe to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's ridiculous. No, it's really ridiculous.
People now, on donkeys, you're in the gym. Beautiful footage, by the way. You really are a maestro with your new iPhone 5.
I know, my new iPhone 5.
It's really unbelievable. There was like an MC who was like kind of leading through the action on the court.
Yeah, and it was his whole line. Like, he just kept going back to one line, like... You know, some kid would, before the game would start, they would say, hey, why don't you say something to your donkey to encourage him? And the kid would, like, whisper to the donkey, and they'd be like, that's one jackass talking to another jackass!
Nice,
and they,
yeah.
I know, but they...
You think you'd have all sorts of stock
schtickle. No, they went with jackass to jackass. They went with that, like, four times. I'm like, wow, they only have one line that they keep going back to. So, I mean, it was... Overall, people had fun. The donkeys didn't look as though they were panicked. But I have to say, they didn't seem like they wanted to be there. And at one point, like, if your daughter...
I can't believe you wanted to be there after about 5 minutes.
I know, but you have to see the event unfold.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was... Once the games got going, you know, it was one of those things where I would tell you right now, if a couple of years from now, when your kids comes home from high school, it's like, Dad, oh my God, entertainment committee put together this thing and we're going to do this donkey basketball tournament. And I was invited to be on one of the teams. Do not let your kids be on one of those teams, regardless of how you feel about animal rights or abuse or what have you.
Nonsense like that.
Because as the games wore on, and especially when the games got close, it's just human nature. It kind of takes over. Then you started to see people kind of start to drag the donkeys.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then the donkeys kind of dig in and they don't want to go anywhere. But the big thing is they start bucking and kicking to get people off there. And it's not just like this little hop.
Yeah.
Like there was one girl from Richards who got hooved right in the bread basket and it dropped her.
Nice. You were like, kind of like, yeah.
And it was, but
get
it was
after
one of those
donkey.
Well, it was funny because it's not they just like buck up to get you off of them. Then they can kick out, and if I just got to imagine that left a mark on this chick. And
yeah, I just saw your sister bail off of her.
Well,
donkey.
She said the second game because they brought out different donkeys for the championship round. So the first round was Richards teachers versus Oaklawn teachers, and the Oaklawn teachers beat the Richards teachers 2-0.
Really? It's like it's like a third grade girls basketball
game.
Oh
yeah, it was that bad. So then they advanced to the championship game, and then the Oaklawn students, in classic Oaklawn fashion, like I actually do like Oaklawn High School. Every time I've gone there, the kids are so super sweet. I really want to see them do well, but by and large, they strike me as the kind of school where every season they go 4-17. Like they're just that like, huh, wah, wah. Even
I always, didn't we call them Smoke Lawn? Weren't there a lot of stoners back there in
maybe
the 90s?
That could have been it. Because I always had this concept like it was a tough school when I was a kid, but it's not really. The kids are super nice, really well behaved.
Very polite.
But one of the things I noticed, like their school slogan, it was Oaklawn High School, where sportsmanship is mandatory.
Nice.
And I was just like, you know, it
after
was just
you
such
destroy
a weak
us on the field of play, we will
yes
always line up and shake your
I
hand.
Know, and not like you want to have like some super aggro like Revis High School.
Yeah.
Money,
yeah,
power, man, and hose.
Nice.
You know, you obvious, although that would have been, could you imagine if we went to high school and like Marist was like money, power, and hose? That would have been the great, because any time people would have seen, like 20 years later.
Without hose, though. We would have spent money and power.
Well, still, though. No, but could you imagine you're at a party like, where'd you go to high school? I went to Marist High School. Yeah. Money, power, and hose? That's the school.
Money, power, and bros.
Right. So, but it was funny, like, I'm watching this event go down. And then, anyway, in true Oaklawn fashion, the Oaklawn kids go up 8-0 in the first half.
Wow, an offensive explosion.
They had like give and goes and stuff. Like
give and goes?
They would like drop the ball down low, and then one buddy would like look at the other, and then he would like try to cut through the lane and then like feed him the ball and
he
would
score.
Oh
my God, I've never seen a high pick and roll in donkey basketball.
No, it was pretty impressive. Like I was even like out loud, like, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Dude, yeah, you need to have like celebrity like coaches, like a Tom Thibodeau type.
Oh yeah, oh that would have been
stay up, stay up.
I know that would have been great. That would have been great. There's more that you could really do with it, but I have to say, Oaklawn goes into the halftime.
Yeah, you're excited.
If they go into halftime up 8-0.
Wow, that just had to have Richards demoralized.
Well, Richards came out on fire and won the game 10-8.
Really?
10 unanswered donkey basketball points.
Oh, my God.
By the Richards Bulldogs.
That's some adjustments. Fred Hoiberg could take notes.
Yeah. So the final game was the Oaklawn teachers versus the Richards students, and they brought out newer, fresher donkeys for it. And then
really?
It got really
like how many donkeys did they have on site? Jesus.
I don't know. I would say they had like 12 to 16. But they brought the fresher donkeys out, and my sister was like, that was when it got, she was like, I was happy when the game was done because those donkeys got kind of wild. Like they were kicking and rolling people off of them and bucking everywhere.
And no injuries.
Other than the girl who got hit in the breadbasket.
Did she cry?
She didn't cry. I didn't see that. And people were sore. Like my sister was like, I was sore after that. Because it looks like nothing's happening, but you only have to be tossed to the ground on the hard parquet floor once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
By a donkey to know that you've had a rough day.
Oh, without a doubt.
So in the end, it didn't look like the donkeys were terrified, but they didn't want to be there. And then when you see them kicking out, you know, they don't want to be there. And then when you see people late in the game and they're trying to drag the donkey to get to the ball because that instinct takes over, even though it's just donkey basketball, like, we got to win.
Yeah.
And the donkeys don't seem to be in pain, but they do seem to be like, I don't want to go there.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. So
when your sister bailed off, I wanted her to get fired up in this video, and I wanted her to go and mount back onto her assigned donkey, pommel horse style. Like, you know, when, like in Western movies, when they would approach directly from the rear of the horse, put both their hands on his posterior and then vault up.
And vault up, yes. Well, you know.
Now, that would take nuts on an animal that bucks, right?
Well, see, yes, that number one. And number two, some people would really kind of get aggressive and try to. That's the other thing I think the donkeys hated. People would kind of be in this light canter or light jog themselves and try to jump on the back. And it was like, dude, slow the thing down and just hop up on there. But the problem was when you're doing that, obviously the weight is coming down so hard on the donkey. But a lot of times they would overshoot really the sturdier back portion of the donkey. And they'd kind of land on the neck. And then the donkey would just lean forward. And then the person would go over and land on their face. So that was, that's why I say it wasn't like I watched, I went to like a Purdue chicken factory and watched a bunch of chickens get slaughtered where it's stomach churning. But I have to say, like, if you're going to say, you know, are you pro donkey basketball or anti donkey basketball? I'd have to say I'm anti donkey basketball.
Now, I had previously accused you of underestimating donkeys. This idea that that a human is too heavy for a donkey, I thought was laughable. Quite frankly, I've been mocking you behind your back. Not that I know really anything about animals, but donkeys are that they're made to carry weight. Now, donkey fact sheet that I'm reading right here from the University of Edinburgh, if you must know. So you'll have to do the conversions, the math conversions. It says here an average donkey of approximately 11 hands high or 160 kilograms can carry up to 50 kilograms on its back. That's also 8 stone, if you must know, and can pull up to twice its body weight on level ground. So 50 kilograms. Let's do the conversion.
I'm actually looking that up.
How much lbs is 50 kgs, all right? And that's 110 pounds. So that isn't very much, actually.
No, it's
now
not.
Now I feel like an ass.
And there was, honestly, out of all the participants last night, there was maybe two or three that would have been under that 110-pound marker.
Is it possible they were taller than 11 hands?
I don't get the 11 hands, but some of them, if you look at the video, especially the first video that they have of the original donkeys, some of them just look like large dogs. They didn't look like these massive. It was looked like people were like mounting an Irish wolfhound. It didn't look like. I was like, that's a donkey? It looked like a large dog. It looked like a mastiff. So it wasn't, you know, when you see a horse, you kind of think, oh, that thing's huge and majestic. That thing could, you could put a Volkswagen on its back. But like the donkeys, they don't look that powerful.
A hand is 4 inches, by the way, which is exactly the measurement of my hands. My baby hands, four inches.
Okay.
Not huge.
No. So that would have, so you're looking at most of those donkeys last night would have fit that criteria or less.
So your sister, 110 pounds, wouldn't you say? She could fit on a donkey, but most of those people bigger
than
110.
We're not under 110.
Yeah. So now I'm kind of coming over to your side. Donkey basketball abuse, especially when you got to drag it, just to get back on defense.
Yeah.
Although I swear I've seen Etran Moore do that with Paul Gasol, force him into playing defense by dragging him by his teeth down to the baseline.
Right. He's almost at the point now where he's going to just hop on his back and be his arms.
It's really getting ugly with the Bulls, by the way. They're not going to make the playoffs.
No, I know it's bad. But, you know, I think it's one of those situations where they're like a bunch of alcoholics. This is their moment. They've got to bottom out, recognize that they have a problem, and get better.
What is the, how do you hit reset on them? You have to wait until Derrick Rose leaves, right?
Yeah. You can't really, that's why I'm really, I mean, I'd be tuned into the Hawks anyway, but the Bulls are so far off the radar because they have so many things wrong, and nothing starts really until Rose leaving is the first part of that. And until it happens, there's really nothing that's going to lead
and
them.
And that's after next season, after 2017.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you can't wait for him to leave fast enough. And then you're left with what you got, Jimmy, by that point with 3 years left on his deal. He just got his 5-year max deal. This is year one of that.
Yeah.
Powell will be gone after this year, thank God. Although, you know, where are you going to get 17 and 10 from? But again, he's just like Carlos Boozer.
Yeah.
He got rid of 17 and 10 with Carlos. Bring in Carlos Jr., the whiter, the paler Carlos Boozer. Production wise, but still, where are you going to get that from? It's going to get ugly. It's going to get real ugly.
I think so.
This is why it's really a good thing that you've discovered the second stupidest thing to watch next to watching the Bulls, donkey basketball.
It was stupid. There is no getting around that. It was stupid. It was stupid and abusive.
It was stupid, but usually the best things in life, those things go hand in hand. Stupid and abusive usually go together. All right, so more little Tommy, we're gonna do a little animal talk up next. Stick on this subject. It's Jones and Mike.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at JonesandMike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. Or should I say little Tommy? Little Jonesy?
Come on now.
I can't really do him, but I love trying to do Larry Lujack, the crabbiest man I'd ever heard on the radio. But for whatever reason, I loved him when I was a kid.
Yeah, see, I never really listened to Larry, I have to say. When I was a kid, it went from Wally Phillips with my parents, from Wally Phillips into Bob Collins. And I hated Wally Phillips, so I always loved Bob Collins for replacing Wally.
When Larry and Little Tommy came back to Chicago radio a few years ago, well, probably about 15 years ago now, 10 years ago at least, because now he's dead. He's been dead for a few years. I remember listening to him, and I'm like, who wants to listen to this crabby bastard? He's the crabbiest guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I listened to old tapes. I'm like, oh, he was always crabby. So when I was a kid, I was listening to this crabby Uncle Lair. I'm Uncle Lair. He just sounded like a mean, like, he sounded an alcoholic.
Yeah, he sounded totally like a mean alcoholic.
I'm just going to sit here. And he treated Tommy Edwards like crap. Speaking of the Bulls, he's treated, I believe, little Tommy. Shut up, little Tommy. You don't know what you're talking about. He sounded like a mean, drunken uncle abusing his nephew.
And that's what you want to mirror on this show.
That's right. I want to do a
little
bit of that.
You want to be the mean,
that.
Drunken uncle
that's
abusing
right.
me.
This week, so the oldest, Elise, comes home from school, and I come home from work. Boy, that's weird. And she says, she's like, well, today, Dad, we were in whatever class, and we were talking about logos. And somebody said that a certain logo looked like the Coors Light logo. And I said, no, that's not the Coors Light logo. That's another logo. And they're like, how do you know? Does your dad drink Coors? And she's like, yeah, he does, actually. And then I guess two boys who, you know, are probably little ruffians, they picked up on that and they started taunting Elise by saying, your dad's an alcoholic, and pressing her on it. How much does he drink? does he drink every day? And so she says, you know what? They actually convinced me, Dad, that you're an alcoholic. So,
and how did you respond to that?
So my wife actually leaped to my defense and says, like, you need to look up the term alcoholic before you start accusing somebody. And I'm thinking, like, I don't think that's going to clear me, actually. I think that probably by definition, I probably am. Like, if you drink, like, more than a couple of beers a week, I think that you're viewed as an alcoholic. And I should look it up right now, actually.
And was this distressing to your daughter?
Or
was she just like, oh, they said you're an alcoholic, and I think I agree with them. I'm going up to my room now.
Well, she loves to turn the screws on me.
Yeah.
So, and I don't take the bait on that. So, you know, I'm just like, whatever you want to think is fine. I'm not going to sit here and have it, but I do like
but
to
go
have
downstairs
me,
and grab me a course.
That's right. Get me a banquet while we're talking about it, and we'll talk more. I actually get two. So, yeah, meanwhile, I've been decreasing my alcohol intake. I'm waking up earlier. Like, I probably will get into the best shape of my life in my 40s.
Good for you.
But be that as it may. So, but I don't want to, no, I do not want to emulate Uncle Lair. He kind of was slurry and angry, and I do not want you to play the role of little Tommy. But looking at Donkey Fun Facts here, I'm wondering, is there anything else I need to know, Jones, about the animal world or other things?
Well, I was going through a number of just odd factoids this week.
All right, lay it on me.
That I thought I would bring in here. Now, this is very schlocky radio-ish. This isn't what you normally get on a Jones and Mike.
Well,
but I saw
we try to
facts.
Broaden horizons, and we do it by saying goofy stuff that ordinarily people don't say.
Right.
In order to spur you into sharing, you know, your secrets and your thoughts and all that stuff with us.
Right. Well, okay,
so it kind of fits in.
I know, but this feels very, I kind of have this high-mindedness of what we do. I shouldn't, but I do. I think we're better than everybody. And when I looked at this list on brainjet.com, I thought, oh my God, I have to bring these up to Mike and go through them. These strange factoids that are hard to believe, 30 facts that sound like BS, but are actually true.
Okay.
I'm not going to go through all 30. I have like 15 of them in
all
front
right.
of me.
Give me the best.
Okay. So I was going through them, and this one stood out to me and plays perfectly following up from our donkey basketball, because we're staying in the realm of the animal planet,
yes.
Mother Earth.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a strange fact that sounds like BS, but it's actually true. A human could swim through the arteries of a blue whale.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Yes.
You shut up, little Jonesy. That ain't true.
Yes. And then
that can't be true.
I'm just look, this is on brainjet.com. You can check it out for yourself.
It's making me want to vomit, honestly, right now.
I know, because like
swim.
I know. Can you imagine just finding an artery of that size? Like, how do you find that on a blue whale? Obviously one washed up and they chopped it open and looked, I would guess, but
and okay, it's one thing to be able to like fit through it like you're El Chapo going through the waste
yes.
sewer or something. But to swimming like I'm imagining freestyle, that would be my
would
stroke.
Think,
if I were to ever swim through an artery, I would go freestyle.
Yeah. You could do it through a blue the,
like so
the
that is more than
whale.
Your width of your body. That is like that's really huge.
Yeah.
That's
it would
disgusting.
Still be confining, but I think you can do it. Clearly, they say it.
Oh, my God.
Here's another interesting
I'm debunking that, by the way. I'm not believing that.
Okay. Okay, write them down.
All right.
The Earth is smoother than a billiard ball if both were the same size. Let that sink in.
It's so ridiculously stupid. What? No way. How could that be?
I guess they just say that there are. If
so
you
Mount
were to,
Everest is like 30,000 feet above sea level.
Yes. And
that,
if you,
that has no bearing on the situation, apparently.
No.
According
they're
to brainstem.com
if
or whatever.
You were, brainjet.com.
Yeah.
If you were to shrink the Earth down to the size of a billiard ball, it would be smoother with less imperfections than a man-made billiard ball.
So, okay. So then what you're saying is unbeknownst to the, or imperceptible to the human
yes,
eye.
Yes.
There are ridges and fissures and
crevasses.
On a billiard ball that we cannot perceive.
Yes.
But they are there that are larger than a Mount Everest is relative to Earth.
True.
Man, yes. Oh man, I need a doob for this conversation. This would be way better in the middle of the night with a doob.
We should start recording this just later. So now here, okay, here's another one. And this hit me right before we came down to do the show.
Uh-huh.
We were talking to your son and he had that little Play-Doh thing of Earth and he uh-huh. could cut it open and then show me. He was like, Uncle Brian, look, this is the core of the Earth. And then this is whatever he was telling me.
What Boy,
was
the, yeah, he's in first grade. The mantle.
The mantle.
The outer core.
The outer
crust,
core, yes.
The, four
and the
pieces.
Core and the crust, yeah. I remember you saying. So along those lines, if you were able, and he was telling me like, here, this is, you know, how big Earth is. This is what's inside of Earth.
That's right.
If you were able to dig a hole to the center of the Earth
uh-huh.
and drop something down it, it would take 42 minutes for the object to get there.
Oh, that's cool. That's
yes.
like in 300 when the Persian emissary comes to talk to King Leonidas. And he kicks them into like this bottomless pit and they throw all the dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking, rotten Persians into this bottomless pit. And they show them falling and you're going like, how deep is that thing? Maybe it led to center Earth.
Took 42 minutes to get there.
Oh, my God. And then as my son is now illuminated for me, the outer core is 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes.
So
which he also illuminated both of us, isn't as hot as the outer crust in his underwear.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So minute 43 would really suck and be over quickly. But
yes.
the first 42 minutes, pretty wild.
It would be wild. You're flying, you're swimming, you're relaxing, you can lay down, you can kind of do anything, you're just free.
Yeah, I wonder if that's when the proverbial heart attack
I know,
happens.
They always say, I don't think that really exists, that all of a sudden the body just explodes the heart to save you. I don't see that happening. I think you're stuck for 42 minutes.
42 minutes, man, like really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, dude, cool.
Okay, and then the last fact that I have, it like even when I read it, it totally even like challenges the concept of God.
Which is your want.
Well, it's not my want. It's actually quite the opposite, but I can't help that I keep bouncing into this in my life.
Okay.
If the timeline of Earth was compressed into 1 year, humans wouldn't show up until December 31st.
At 1159.
1158.
I've heard
regardless.
This before.
Still, though. Doesn't that boggle the mind?
If you were to believe
well,
that
that's true.
Earth is, what do they say it is? It's like 5 billion years
that's
old.
That's true.
Or something.
You have to you have to believe in a science that you're not researching yourself. But, I mean, just the idea of that.
Yeah, yeah. That it makes you feel so insignificant. This big, I'm
it
holding
does.
My finger
it
and
does.
My thumb.
Well, I'd feel more secure if I was a part of something larger. But it does make me feel insignificant.
But if you believe in the Bible, the Earth is only 6,000 years old or whatever, then like we've been around for 30% of the time. It's like 11 in the morning still.
But are you more inclined to believe the Bible, which was written 300 years after the people who were in it? Or
yeah.
are you going to believe a bunch of scientists, which I know scientists aren't right 1,000% of the time, but I have to say...
They seem to be wrong a lot of the time, actually.
I know, but more so than a Bible that was written 300 years after the subject matter.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, and that's a debate for another day. But, like scientists are wrong all the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, weren't scientists the ones that were like, the Earth's flat? They were the ones like telling people, no, 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 do not get on your boat and sail. You'll fall off it's just one giant square.
Right. No, I get it. I get it.
Weren't they the ones who were like, you know what? You need to put, although now I'm seeing like studies that are saying, you know what? Putting leeches on your feet to suck out blood actually has benefits. So now they're coming right around. So they went from telling people to cure diseases by putting leeches on their feet to suck out blood. To then going, oh, that's totally preposterous. You got to take a pill to cure yourself. Don't put leeches on your feet. Now they're coming right back around and saying, oh, you know what? Actually, the ancient people that did the leeches thing, it has some benefits.
Yeah, I just don't see them coming around and going, you know, the Bible?
Yeah.
It's spot on.
Yeah, I know. My mind is still blown about the idea of swimming through a whale's arteries. It's better than you. I thought you were going to say through a whale's anus.
Which could be possible. Now, I don't know.
That is something that I could see myself freestyling through.
And how cruel would that be?
There's something about blood and arteries I can't get on board with, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of fizzies, Dean Wormer, fizzies. Did you see any fizzies at the Donkey basketball game?
Not much.
You saw some, though?
There was like some little... this is so gross. It seemed like there was some little scraps of something that people sweeped up, but I couldn't tell if that was maybe something that would have come off a hoof or something. Nothing. There was no explosion of sight and sound.
Interesting.
That would have related to fizzies, at least that I could see. So that's... Are they starving these damn donkeys?
Was there a discernible funk in the air?
No, nothing. Just it was your regular Oaklawn High School funk.
Yeah, well, that's not a ringing endorsement for the fighting. What are they?
Spartans.
Oh, they're the Spartans. The very polite Spartans.
Yes, where sportsmanship reigns supreme.
That's like incongruous with what Spartans were.
I know Spartans were. Money, power, and hoes.